Phil Leonis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Haglund in downtown Los Angeles. Alex Leftuke, Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, and Tasha Turney in downtown Lincoln, England. What's not to love, especially if you're measuring time via the Mayans?
The following takes place between the hours of 3:02 p.m. and 4 p.m. GMT.
Exactly. So welcome aboard to our Chilpack Hollywood fabulous people. We'll say a hearty welcome, won't we, Ed?
Welcome along.
Yes, the energy is there. We're already here into Hour 23. And what better way to start off Hour 23 than with the man whose daughter Rachel Hurdwood has done wonders. And in fact, Rachel wasn't even born when Philip Hurdwood took part in our very first broadcasting marathon back in 1986. He, of course, is a legendary voiceover artiste who specialises in the quality of enunciating precisely words such as remuneration, phenomenon, and indeed statistical. Isn't that right, Philip?
And another word I use quite a lot is probably.
Well, I've
probably said the word probably more times than an awful lot of people in the world.
Probably the best
probably
Maya
the fattest lager in the world. You know, you say probably. You can't say it is, because that would be a lie. That wouldn't be true. You can say, oh, it's probably the nicest drink you've ever had. It's probably the nicest burger you've ever eaten. But anyway, so we're not all... You said welcome aboard, but yes. That would suggest an arc of some kind, which,
yes,
of course, we don't need, because we haven't been, subject to a... it has been raining quite heavily here, but that's not really enough. But, I mean, they've changed their minds now, haven't they, the Mayans, a little bit, because they're now saying instead of there going to be a great big deluge, which is all to do with those steps or whatever it is, there's going to be a pole shift, which is a geomagnetic reversal, which is going to combine itself with a massive Earth crust displacement event, which they think is going to last about 30 hours.
I'm glad you've taken this seriously, Philip. Good.
I'm taking it very seriously, of course.
Yeah. This is what it's all about.
Well, I'm very relieved that we're all here talking. That's the main thing. We're not all sort of stuck on. I was interested. There was a holiday, a break away to some Hopi encampment or something, or some Mayan encampment up on a hill, so nobody'd be washed away. They'd be above the waterline, and there was a New York company offering these breaks, and they were giving return tickets, which I thought was quite entertaining. But anyway, there we are. Listen, how's it all going, guys?
Ed,
it's going really, really well. Can't believe that we've done 22 hours. Here comes hour 23.
Good grief.
It's really, really flown. Apart from 15 minutes at around about 1:45 in the morning our time, when it suddenly went slow. But it was a very brief moment.
And things flagged a bit. We did one before, actually, Alexis, if you remember. A long time ago, we did a 24-hour marathon, and that was to raise money for a dialysis machine,
Yes, that's exactly so, and we did that.
If my memory serves me correctly.
In this particular instance, though, as we said, look, this is our gift to the universe. This is a freebie. We're not asking for any money. We're not one of those sort of telethon charity sort of where you say, send money now. It sounds desperate. We're desperate isn't sexy. We are very sexy station. I've got to say that. You know, that's what we are. It's Siren FM, another word for, you know.
Siren FM. Yeah, I haven't done any more of your jingles. You must ask me to do some more when you need some more ones.
It'll be on the cards very shortly. And, you know,
that's good.
I say, we were coordinating a variety of other fine folk there. You heard, obviously, D World doing her own jinglette for us in terms of
that was lovely, actually. Really nice. Really good.
It sort of set the scene. In fact, because we're running out of time to actually be playing these with any sort of meaningfulness, we'll give you this one as well to actually consider and contemplate.
Some radio stations bring you traditional Christmas tunes at this time in December. At Siren, we bring you the best in Yuletide music and the end of the Mayan calendar. Settle back and enjoy. It could be the last show you'll ever catch before ascending to the next level.
See, it could be.
Really nice. Really, really, really good.
Well, you see, I like to feel that the old copywriting and magic can come through. Natalie Tuck has returned, having had a repast of some sort of wonderful nutritionist routine, because she quite sensibly actually declined Ed's offer of a sausage roll that had been sort of gathering dust in his boot of his car.
I sort of understand that, I'm with that.
Exactly. And
Hashtag yuck, you know.
There we are. So, you know, welcome back, Natalie. You know, all set for the sort of final sequence here.
Yeah,
so what time do you actually finish, guys? What time are you going to finish?
That would be 6 p.m.
Oh, well, you've not got that long to go, so...
No, exactly. We figure after yourself, it's Martin Jarvis, Rosalind Ayres, and then after that, hopefully Lucy Parham, Rebecca Poole, Katie Clark, Darren Harmon, Liz Brewer, and then a wrap-up in Los Angeles as well. So
absolutely wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's really fantastic. And what a lineup too. Gosh, I mean, that is really wonderful.
I was listening to
Martin Jarvis doing one of his wonderful Jeeves and Worcester productions just recently, and to a live audience, and yes. He was switching faultlessly and seamlessly between characters, and I don't know how he did it. I thought it was an absolute piece of masterful voiceover work or you know, narrating and performance. Absolutely stunning. Stunning, stunning.
We'll note that down and pass it on to Martin when he's on.
Quite legendarily brilliant. I thought it was, because I know from the inside what that kind of work's like, and that was quite something.
Well, there we are, you see. You know, only a matter of 12 minutes before Martin will be responding to those things in kind. And, of course, Philip, if you want to actually check that we do actually pass that message on, all you need to do is go to your computer or, indeed, listening device. You can get us on mobile phones as well these days if they've got very smart applications.
Indeed, I know you can. Can't you just twirl a dial and get your radio station?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
You need never be away.
What will they think of? Gosh, well, I mean, you know, tin cans, bits of string, that was me in my day, you know. We thought that was sophisticated. Can you hear me, Nigel? Yeah, I can hear you, mate. That's what we used to do. Oh.
Very true. Ed, anything you'd like to actually add to young Philip there?
Thank you so much. You've made my day.
I'd like to ask you how you look after your voice.
Well, I don't really, particularly. I gave up smoking, God knows, 10 years ago, more, 40, 12 years ago, something like that. I don't really look after it as such. I don't shout and scream except at the news on television. I swear at the TV, like people do, don't they, you know? But apart from that, really, I don't do an awful lot. I make sure that I don't get colds because I take the right kind of nutritional supplements like vitamin D, which I suppose is a hormone really, but I take vitamin D3 and zinc and magnesium and I eat lots of fresh fruit and veg. So I keep myself very healthy, so that keeps the pipes kind of in good shape. But apart from that, really, nothing in particular.
That's good enough advice. That's the sort of advice I wanted. Perfect. Thank you.
just needs to actually alert people to our Chilpack Hollywood people, and this is quite important because, you know, clearly we do have them scheduled to come in at one particular time, the Chilpack Hollywood Hour, obviously in downtown Los Angeles. We are on a break, carrying the final 3 hours of the Siren FM Mayan Calendar Marathon, hosted by Alex Lefduke in the UK. Hopefully he knows that we have carried his link and doesn't wake us up while we nap. Welcome our audience, Alex. We welcome your audience, don't we, Ed?
We do indeed.
Welcome. Yes.
A million times over.
Don't we, Natalie?
Yes.
Ho, ho, ho. And things like that. Seasonal sorts of greetings.
Now, you've been over to Los Angeles, Phil, I believe.
Yes, a good few times. Yeah, I love it. I love LA very much. I've got some very good friends who live in a blue castle. Wait for this. They live in a blue castle in the Hollywood Hills,
yes.
Not that far from the Hollywood sign.
Right.
He's a stunt man,
yes.
And his family are all stunties.
Uh-huh.
And they live in this amazing stunties, we call them in the biz.
Oh.
And they're amazing people. They really are, absolutely. Gary Morgan. Shout for Gary Morgan.
Shout.
You know, we're giving a shout. Yeah,
shout out.
Giving a shout out. Yeah. Anyway, he's an amazing fellow, and he's just one of life's just very special, dynamic, funny, warm and lovable people. And his family are fabulous. They're all actors and stunt people and all that. And he lives in this amazing blue castle in the Hollywood Hills with a view you would just takes your breath away of the city spread out below you, particularly at night. And the house is, you know, you're greeted, you drive in, and there's ostriches, and there's emus, and monkeys in cages, and lizards, and goodness knows what else. Every kind of critter you can imagine.
Ferrets. Do you have any ferrets there?
Pardon me?
Ferrets.
Ferrets?
Any ferrets, yes.
Ferrets, probably not. Ferrets aren't really an American sort of creature, are they?
Opportunities there, I think, for exploiting the countryman's weakness.
We could possibly export ferrets. I think we can be big in ferrets. Alex Lefduke is going to be big in ferrets this year. I think in 2013, there's going to be a big pole shift.
A
pole cat shift.
Yeah, I see what you did. Very good.
You see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
But no, I think that would be wonderful. I think the America needs ferrets. I really do think they need phones.
Can we get that as a campaign banner for Barack Obama? You know, perhaps that could be his
New
Year's
message. Yeah, I think we could pressure the White House.
Hand in your AK-47, hand in your rifles, we'll give you a ferret. Let's have a ferret swap.
Absolutely, yeah.
You hand in the gun, we'll give you a ferret.
We can set some ferrets on the
Nobody's going to terrorise a ferret, you know.
But we should get the ferrets to run up the trouser legs of people in the NRA, couldn't we? That would really be fun. We can see, watch them dance.
Exactly. I think finally, after, you know, 23 hours and 13 minutes, we've finally sorted out all the details with respect to the arms
race. Well, it doesn't take long. You see, you should have got me in the first hour, and I could have had it all worked out for you.
3 a.m. I offered you. I offered you 3 a.m. now. Come on.
And you did offer me 3 a.m.
You didn't realise at all. You sort of said, yes, whatever time's easy. I said 3 a.m. What happened? You said,
I panicked, didn't I? I did panic. I thought to myself, if I do that, you see, if I go to bed late, you asked me a question earlier on about how do I keep my voice, in good shape.
Well, there we are.
I go to bed before 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
See, now I couldn't have done all the voiceovers I did this morning.
If
I had gone to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd have been going, it would have been croaked city, and that would have been no good.
On the other hand, Graham Harper is now safely heading back down to London, and yes, Graham, we're going well, and we salute the fact that he spent a good few hours with us at that time.
He's a wonderful guy, one smashing chap, is wonderful.
And indeed everybody has. In fact, we'll be coming around very shortly where we'll be actually having to do the little roll of honour in terms of folk that we'd like to salute for having been part of this whole sequence. I know we haven't finished yet, etc., but we could probably get some suitable music to kind of do this with Philip Hurdwood parting various comments before we actually head up to Martin Jarvis. We'll set the scene and also maybe provide an incentive, you know, as we head into 2013 for people to turn around and say, oh, we might like to download that. Yeah, we'll go to our Podbean site, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, or just go on to our sirenonline.co.uk midweek. Like Pickwick.
Sort of like a cuckoo, really. A bit like a cuckoo, isn't it? Midweek,
After a fashion, but maybe, not to be taken...
Or the Midwich Ferret, we could call it. The Midwich Ferret Hour.
I think that...
On Siren FM.
I think we're already getting to that particular area where we will definitely be sort of addressing that whole setup. So, Ed, have you got the list of teams there? And we'll probably sort of look to do this one at a time with various other folk in hand. And I think, we'll actually select this particular piece as a little sort of nice routine. It's London in the 1900s. So we'd just like to take this moment to actually thank Phil Leonis for actually helping set this whole thing up and being the first person who actually launched us at 5 p.m. yesterday. Who followed?
Cameron Tilbury did.
The one and only Michelle Monroe took over at 5:40. And then we had...
Annette Andre.
The delightful Annette Andre, followed by Seth Alley. And then...
Tallulah Rendell.
And Arthur Weingarten, producer of Murder, She Wrote, and many a keen writing form, was also with us at 7 p.m.
And then we enjoyed the colours of the magazine SFX in the company of Richard Edward, the deputy editor.
So, on to the classic case of Paul Bain and Claire MacArthur, Raintown Singers Extraordinaire, part of Cameron's band.
At 8 o'clock, we heard live from the choir of St Mary Magdalene's Church in Balegate.
Carol singing par excellence. Kelly Duncan Joyner joined us at 8:20 yesterday.
Followed by Richard Moore from Mint Audio Restoration.
It was Kenny Holiday with 8 Coronas, KT Grimmison's favourite, followed at that at 9 o'clock.
At 20 past, Sarah Chase.
Belinda Wannis, half Australian, half Egyptian, all totally wonderful, 9:40.
And then we had some excellent tweeting fun with the Western Swing Authority. Shane Guides.
Leslie Curtis was talking about and singing Before She Walked a Mile.
And then Fiona Curzon took her place.
On to page 3. Jolia Tilbury. She kept a lot of people up all night.
And then I did a little bit of reading of the words of Dave Bradley, who was online from SFX also.
Editor-in-chief of SFX magazine. Pip Mountjoy, she wrote the special Marathon Composer 2012. She actually raised to the challenge. We'll hear it again before the show is finished on this side of the Atlantic.
The lovely Alana Rain at 12 midnight.
Yes, Sarah Huntley was back with us doing her own magical stuff.
Tall Dark Stranger. Did we go there?
Dee Allen. We got to Dee Allen. We didn't quite get to psychic surgery. Another Myathon.
Yeah.
Tonya Kennedy, hallelujah. She was with us for a double header of joy.
Caitlin, otherwise known as Jean Bruce Scott, at 1:20.
Peter Franklin, live as a Gabby Cabby should be from New York, followed that. And then we were back with The X-Files. Dean Hagland.
Yeah, this is why I've got some blanks.
I know. Just Randy Reinholtz, Ilana Rainback, Steve Court performing some of the most magical Lincoln-inspired individual performance pieces you could ever wish to endure or indeed appreciate, as we did. Phil Linus was back. And then Ethan Dettenmeyer from Combat Radio did his own unique style on the whole show.
Followed by
the return of Randy Reinholtz, Gene Bruce Scott, and of course more Native American voices, and then magically heading into the next sequence, we actually brought you to Steve Court again with Sean O'Donnell, the official man in charge of the Battlestar Galactica International Fan Club, who also sort of kept us busy through the whole sequence. Ethan was back with us at 6 p.m. And then of course we went slightly bizarre in the whole world. We took Yorkshire Terry expert Dave Ramsden.
And at 6:40, it was the Kilburn Feast, I believe.
Well, we went to Ashok's Christmas Lights and Pet Dental Care as well. Sandwiched in between that, we went live to Donna Davis, our Welsh singer and wedding singer, of course. Paul Ratcliffe was the artist who joined us at 7:40 a.m. this morning. Stephen Bones.
Was at 8.
I'm on. Aristocrat Pet Supplies. Ian Lennox, top author, started our literary features at 8:20.
Janie Booth followed at 8:40.
And then we had the wonderful Henny Penny herself, Henny Penny Roberts. Penny Roberts, 9 a.m.
And live from Bath Spa, Sarah Hammond at 9:20.
The author of Night Sky in My Head and many other classics to come. Simon Hollingworth, the director of the Lincoln Drill Hall, was up at 9:40.
And then at 10 o'clock, slightly afterwards, we did a bit of cake-off preparation.
It was the cake-off extraordinaire, which was won, of course, by Natalie. Yay! Go, Natalie! Judged, of course, by Nikki Wells, by, indeed, the Tomlinsons, Malcolm Tomlinson and Ross Tomlinson, and Marina Fiorato, and William Sitwell. William, of course, who actually, as a cultural expert would do, judged his culinary delights via the telephone. Why not, indeed? Katie Grimerson also did a little piece with us as well. And then we actually headed magically into the sort of final sequence, which brought us to where, Ed?
Michelle Monroe at 11.
The welcome return of Michelle Monroe, followed by Shane and Sheila Rimmer, also helped judge the whole setup from that perspective as well. On to Richard Fitzwilliams, and then
Rosemary Langhorne
from Legs and Co. Fantastic person, and then Charlotte Fortune at 12:20.
Sarah Hudley at 20 to 1.
As always the case, we went to Richard Herring, comedy genius, talking about how to actually get your comedy put together, and is it the end and the death of the comedic joke at, you know, 1 o'clock-ish, or eventually, while we got through on ISDN. It was a miracle, I thought. Louis Savvy also shared time with us as the founder of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. We squeezed in the editor of the Countryman's Weekly, Tracy Allen, and moved dexterously on to Elliot Morris.
We then heard from Luke Corradine, musical composer.
Ace composer and Cass, the owner of the country's oldest inn, the Packet Inn, in Scarborough.
Before we checked in with Stuart Carr and his version of a song that Johnny Robinson from last year's X Factor.
Interspersed with various connections with Dean Hagland and Ilana Rain and Phil Learness. And now here we are, Phil Herdwood, just before we go off to Martin Jarvis. Did you enjoy that, Phil?
I did. I think that's a fantastic... You did that all absolutely fantastically. Well done after all these hours of broadcasting.
Well, you know, we like to keep on the whole reading team. So, Natalie, what are the last questions we need to ask Philip Herdwood at this stage?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Much more than, and I'd love to have done longer, but you've got lots of other guests to get through, and I wish you all a very, very happy Christmas and a brilliant New Year.
Happy Myathon.
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
Possibly. I don't know, really, unless I'm asked. If I'm asked, I might consider it, possibly. Yeah, no, I'd love to, of course.
Excellent. Yes, absolutely. As we continue to actually share the load with our Los Angeles colleagues in every sense of the word...
The 20th and 21st of December 2012. More than just dates on a calendar, as this Mayan celebratory extravaganza is proving.
Quite right, too. And when I was actually shooting the breeze with our ace musician and classical pianist who's joining us actually in the final sequence, the 24th hour, Lucy Parham, needless to say, the one person who immediately, in fact, the two people who sprung to mind as being absolutely essential to actually link up both the British Isles and Los Angeles in this particular time were indeed the legends that are Martin Jarvis and Rosalind Ayres. Martin, it seems like only yesterday we started off doing these broadcast-a-thons, and look, lo and behold, there you are in Los Angeles.
Well,
Well, it's great to hear you again, Alex. I feel we have this sort of broadcasting relationship. And yes, Roz Ayres, my wife and business partner, is here too. And we're at our second home here in Los Angeles. We woke up not very long ago. Maybe the calendar ended, but the world certainly hasn't.
Yeah, well, you see, we've kept it going for you guys. We felt it was important. You know, we sort of sent that positive energy out there, which is very important and crucial to the whole field. Okay, we'll do
Roz
a few...
Roz is looking out of our window,
yes?
And she can see, I think the spelling might be different, but we have a very nice lemon tree, and they are Meyer lemons.
Hey.
The spelling is different, but they're very, very nice and rather sweet.
Martin, I'm very impressed to go to that length of horticulture just to actually prepare for this particular show is
so
true genius.
Say hello.
Hello,
Rosalind Ayres.
We're all very pleased to be here. And the sun is rising even as we speak.
Isn't that wonderful? I feel as though it's like a wonderful movie that's all happening in its own magical way. Ed, have we got some details there we'd like to just précis in terms of these fine folk who, as I say, are joining us as we transmit across the globe, but certainly not just on sirenonline.co.uk, but also taking up the Chilpack Hollywood scenario there. Over to you, sir.
I'm just having a little bit of a look. Yes.
I mean, we are talking about the legend who did Just William, who basically had people in tears because of, as Phil Hurdwood said, you know, just the classic sort of way in which Martin Jarvis can deliver from voice to voice. I don't even speak about the excitement of Stargate. I know you might not want to talk about it, but I enjoyed your appearance in Stargate, amongst a whole stack of other pieces, etc. Genius stuff from that point of view.
Are you talking to me now?
Of course we are.
Stargate, yes, that was the most wonderful thing to be doing up in Vancouver. I had a terrific time on that with the Stargate team and also excellent director Andy Nikita. And but I believe you've also been talking to my old friend and colleague Graham Harper.
Yep. Well, Graham was actually in the studio about 12 hours ago, actually.
Right.
Between the hours of around about 1 a.m. through to about 4 a.m. Because we know Graham. He's one of the lads. He likes to get down and dirty on the whole system, etc. So, you know, it worked extremely well.
And also, of course, it was a very appropriate guest because as a one-time director of Doctor Who and Coronation Street, he kind of represents the old world Coronation Street and the new, with Doctor Who reforming to become something else as it has become. So how appropriate that Graham is has been with you on this.
It very, very critical and crucial. Over to your good self, Natalie. Any questions for either Martin or Rosalind?
Will you be spending Christmas in LA?
Hello, Natalie. Yes, we will. We're here at our second home. We live in London, but we're here just for a short time recording Jeeves' story, Ring for Jeeves, and my director is Rosalind Ayres. I better ask her how she thinks it's going. We're halfway through.
Yeah, Rosalind, is he actually cutting the mustard? Is he actually doing the business?
He's doing the business.
Nice.
Yes.
It's very important.
Great stuff. This time it's Jeeves with another family. Bertie Wooster is on a course learning how to fend for himself as aristocracy. So he's very kindly lent Jeeves to a friend of his. So there's wonderful teams of wacky characters.
So in many ways it's Jeeves for hire then, basically.
Well, that's good. And Natalie, just to answer the rest of your question, yes, we will be here over Christmas, and it'll be a bit of a working holiday. We've got we have to schedule these business meetings between us to discuss some of the things we'll be doing in the new year, and we will be here for the new year. And our grandchildren are coming out with youngest son Oliver Jarvis, and we've got one or two futuristic things planned, including a whole day visit to Universal Studios, and then a little trip to the desert heat of Palm Springs. So yes, we will be here.
Keeping the British end up, Martin, and it's important that you do so and continue to
do so. Quite a few Brits over here.
We know. Whisper it, but it's all part of the policy of actually gradually getting back the colonies. Okay, you know, I know this is happening. You know, we just don't want to make too much. I mean, we've already sorted out with Philip Hurdwood the actual true solution to the arms difficulties. We simply exchange guns for ferrets. Okay, every gun that's handed in. Ian.
The new year's going to bring proper gun control and...
have a ferret. That's our line, you know. If you have a ferret, you're not likely to sort of get wild and wacky about the whole thing. We've got two young men in the studio who actually normally actually anchor the show called No Adults Allowed. Obviously, we've sort of taken over that whole sequence there. We've got George. How are you, George?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, as a young man of how many years?
17 now.
17. Good grief.
Getting old.
I would have thought so, absolutely. I mean, Martin's already going to say he's past it, but anyway. In terms of that sequence, what have your thoughts been on this thing, which says The Guardian said earlier today, the world ends on Friday, which simply hasn't as yet, and we hope it doesn't, but, I mean, were you worried?
Not really. I love how you put in, as of yet.
Yeah.
As well, though it may still happen. I personally don't think it will, so. But... you never know.
Isn't it nice, Martin, to have the voice of youth carrying through on that particular basis?
The voice of youth, 17, yes. He's only 2 years younger than William's brother, Robert, who's 19, who used to wear spats.
I'm
not sure anybody in this world knows what spats are.
Let's just test that out. I suspect you're right, but let's go to Ed Wellman, first of all.
So
spats?
Sorry, no idea.
Dear. Natalie, spats?
Well, a spat could be a little bit a hissy fit or an argument, but the spats I remember, and my grandpa used to wear them, they're a kind of canvassy, leathery things that you put over your shoes, because, of course, it was very, very cold in those darker days, and no central heating, so in the winter months, you wore these things over your shoes, and they just went up your ankle a little way, and acted as an extra or second sock, almost, thick sock, over the top of your shoes and your ankles.
Oh, so they're a bit like pool shoes, but for outside.
And they were very fashionable, of course.
You could be right, George. I don't know. Pool shoes, different line. Introduce your colleague, whose name is?
Callum, who usually comes on the end of the Thursday show.
Callum, yes. Welcome to a whole
Thank
different
you.
Sort of experience. Have you been listening to any of the production that we've put together so far?
I listened a bit last night, actually, when you first
Did
started,
you?
About 11 o'clock.
Okay, well, we started at 5 p.m., well, yeah, but that's all right. Six hours time. That's very, very good. So what are your favourite? Because I'm always interested, and Ed will attest to this, likewise, Natalie, and Martin as well. It's always nice to do a bit of market research, you know, find out which bits people have liked, which bits they say, don't ever do that again. What about yourself, Callum? Where have we floated your boat?
What do you mean exactly?
What bits have you liked from that point of view? You know, as a 17-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay, as a 17-year-old, what bits from last night did you think, oh, that's all right, you know?
Well, it's just interesting stuff altogether, really.
Interesting stuff altogether. General.
As of marketing, it's very good because here in Los Angeles, we're never going to forget the great city from which you're broadcasting, Alex, because everywhere there are huge posters that simply say Lincoln.
I thought it was quite nice that we managed to sort of tie that in quite neatly. You know, a bit of publicity. Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, we owe you one, but well put together. You know, Steven Spielberg, nice to see.
Also, I'm just looking across out of our other window at a beautiful house that's right opposite ours, and our lovely friend and neighbour, Jared Harris, lives there, although he's not at home at the moment. And, of course, he's also in the movie, Lincoln.
Exactly.
Playing, I think, General Grant. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie over the Christmas holiday.
It'll be a splendid one, and we already hear it's a good possible bet for the Oscars ahead of Life of Pi, or indeed other classics that'll be coming through. I suspect The Hobbit won't quite get there, but never mind, who knows?
I haven't seen The Hobbit yet, but because Roz and I are members of the British Academy, we are able to vote, and we are sent a number of screeners. We shall be again looking at The Hobbit over Christmas. And last night we caught up with Skyfall, which I think may have one or two nominations.
Well, I mean, certainly Adele received, I think, a nomination for Best Song, and many people are saying it's the best Bond. I don't know. I think it's in the top five. I'm not sure whether it's necessarily the best. I mean, the suggestions that maybe Touch of Misogyny, maybe one of the females is actually killed off unnecessarily, perhaps, you know, she could have been rescued.
Yes, I mustn't go into too many details.
Of course.
I agree. I think the jury will be literally out on whether it is absolutely great, but certainly interesting, and technically, of course, superb.
Exactly. Rosalind, of course, I was always, you know, amazed that you weren't actually selected ahead of Dame Judy to actually sort of, you know, secure the role of M. But maybe, you know, now that, you know, possibly, without giving too many plot spoilers away, you know, you could actually succeed Ralph Fiennes. Just thoughts there, you know? Just a little sort of
mention. Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, well, it's a definite.
We like our very much. We've made 3 James Bonds for Radio 4 in the last 4 years.
This is the whole point. Featuring, of course.
We very much like our own M, played by the brilliant John Standing, who doesn't remind one of Judy Dent at all, but he does remind one of M very much indeed.
Exactly. And Toby Stevens, of course, who was the villain in Die Another Day, is also...
He's the most wonderful Bond for us, and fun enough, one of the business meetings we will be having over the next 10 days will be discussing OHMSS on
very good.
Service.
Right, yes.
It's going to be our next Radio 4 Bond.
Do you know, these are treats which are just absolutely wonderful. And, you know,
if you do skiing on radio.
I was just going to say, you know, that particular aspect springs to mind immediately in terms of... if anybody can do it, it's the team that is Martin Jarvis and Rosalind Ayres. You know, I did suggest some scuba diving for the duration of this marathon. Andrew David frowned.
Well, if we can do a fight with a giant squid,
yes.
I think we can probably manage the scuba diving.
Yeah, that was Dr. No, of course. Was it Dr.?
Yes, indeed.
The giant squid, yeah. Not in the movie version. It was a faithful adaptation of the book. Very good.
Yes,
it's what Ian Fleming actually developed the whole thing for. Ed, thoughts from yourself?
Yes.
Giant squids, skiing... We've got a lot of room to cover here, a lot of room to manoeuvre.
I was just going to ask where you were when you were surprised with This Is Your Life.
Yes, where were you when you were surprised with This Is Your Life?
Thank you.
This Is Your Life. Well, it wasn't Eamon Andrews. It was
Michael Parkinson?
Michael Aspel.
Michael Aspel, of course, yes.
Is that directed at me? I wasn't sure.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was, yes.
I was in a radio studio being interviewed by my dear friend Giles Brandreth.
Yeah. He likes his teddy bears, does Giles?
He's never taken any of my teddy bears.
Really?
Because they're too crumbly.
Nice point.
He got me into the studio on the pretext of my doing a program, interview program, and then in came at one point a camera. And somebody who pretended to be Reg Booker, a Welsh chap, who said, "Martin, have you ever been embarrassed in any way while you've been working?" And I thought it was a genuine question. And of course, and in fact, it wasn't. It was Michael Aspel. And for a moment, because we were live on air, I thought, "Am I having a bit of a turn here or something?"
Yeah.
Because there's a man come in the studio with a bright light, and he's talking, and he shouldn't be talking. Yeah. And then, of course, it was. This Is Your Life situation.
Do you know,
the Red Book, Reg Booker, Red Book, ho, ho, ho.
Got to ask this. George, are you familiar with the programme This Is Your Life?
Heard of it, not seen it.
Callum, This Is Your Life?
It rings a bell.
You can see that there's a whole generational gap here manifesting, Rosalind and Martin, which I don't know. It's a little one they say no adults allowed. It's a very strange thing.
It's just a way of doing an interesting programme. They do it in other ways now. They call it biography and things like that.
And that's very good as well, of course, in its own measure way. Natalie, thoughts for yourself? Because I know Natalie is a keen Meryl Streep fan, chaps. You know, she actually has been banging on about Meryl Streep, well, since I can remember her actually being an undergraduate at the University of Lincoln, and now she's a postgraduate. It's just, if anything, it's kind of continued, you know, for a whole range of things. Ask her anything about Meryl Streep, she's got her finger on the pulse. I always say Rosalind Ayres, far better actor, but never mind, less mannered. But anyway, over to yourself, Natalie. Any questions for Rosalind or Martin?
When... You produced the Bond for radio, so how different are they from the films? Like, do you follow closely to the books, like, or to the film scripts, like?
Faithful adaptation.
Yeah.
What we do is we go back to the book, because I think that the early Bond films... stayed closer to the book, but then they found that because of cinema and special effects and things, they could do these wonderful chases and extraordinary action sequences, which are amazing. And so the films got known for that, but they moved slightly further away from the stories that Ian Fleming had created. So what we do for our radio plays is we read the book and use incidents in the story itself. And also, we have the voice of Ian Fleming occasionally coming in, because his writing is actually really very, very interesting and good and very evocative. So we don't use the scripts of the films at all, but just go back to Ian's original stories.
But what we also do is try and bring in top actors, our friends and colleagues. And for instance, David Suchet played Dr. No quite wonderfully, we thought, and accurately to the book. And then we had Ian McKellen playing Goldfinger and playing golf on radio. That was another first, we thought. And then on the latest one, Tim Pigott-Smith and Nathaniel Parker and Heidi Atkins.
And how do you portray sort of... So you said you've got to do the skiing or something, so how are you going to do that? Sounds?
Whatever it is, golf or climbing on the top of a train or whatever it might be, it's all a question of the imagination. As Ros was suggesting, there's nothing you can't do on radio. It's the combination of the writer's imagination. And we do have a wonderful dramatist in Archie Scottney who dramatizes these feature-length radios. It's the writer's imagination combined with the actor's imagination and hopefully the director's imagination, which is me in this case, just like playing, just like children imagining, if you like. If we can imagine we're skiing, we go through the actions that you would do. What does that do to your body, to your breathing, to your voice? And sometimes listeners tell us that obviously we were on location. We were swimming in that pool. We were climbing that mountain.
You were dealing with that giant squib.
Sometimes I don't say, oh no, we weren't. We were just in the studio.
You've just got to let them go, Martin. It's the fans. They appreciate that. They know what, you know. Just let it be. You know,
don't spoil the dream for them.
Exactly. Thank you, George. You must never spoil the illusion, the magic. If it takes the fact that you said, look, yeah, we had to have a giant squib actually imported into the studio. It was a bit of a heavy cost, but you know that's what we had to do. You know, that's the crucial thing.
It was. That one wasn't played by David Suchet.
No, but,
and we've got Skios coming up, this marvellous novel by Michael Frayn, which we've dramatised, and for all you know, we may well have been on location on the beautiful fictional island of Skios. Certainly,
yes, exactly.
It's our most location-based drama that comes out in January the 12th.
I love the way it's seamlessly put together in a plug, and so British as well, nicely subtly put together, not so much in your face, just nicely just raising that whole routine. Ed, you've been busily tapping the computer as our social networking soul, etc. What's happening out there?
I'm just very interested to know from Rosalind, by the way, happy birthday for the week before last.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just say
I would just like to say that, because
we greeted Ian Lennox, our ace writer from Newcastle, with the full happy birthday tune. But Rosalind, we haven't forgotten you, even though it's like a week tardy, 168 hours to you, Ros. But, you know, we still appreciate you, and well done.
That's very sweet. Thank you very much indeed.
And I'd like to ask you, because when I was a teacher, and in fact when I was at school, anyone who was really interested in drama was also interested in art and music. Was that the case for you?
Absolutely, yes, extraordinarily. I've always been very keen on art. I think art was one of my in the old days when they used to do A levels, it was one of my A level subjects at school. And music, I attempted to learn to play the piano, and I'm constantly amazed by the wonderful Lucy Parham, how brilliant she is. But I wanted to be able to play like Lucy, but without doing the practice. But I do appreciate very much, the skills of making music. And at one time, I used to sing with friends who played guitars and sang also. So, you know, that in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. So music's a pretty sort of important part. But I think there are areas in drama where, you know, art and music obviously all collide. So now you said you were a teacher.
That's right.
You were a teacher.
I was a music teacher, but I was different from you because I couldn't do drama and I couldn't do art. I could only do music. But when I grew up and became a teacher, I found that many more people were wanted to take all three as options, which always caused problems and things like that. But I hear what you say. It's
shame,
great,
isn't it? When you have to sort of compartmentalise and isolate things, and you can only do one subject in the arts because they all do tie together.
Yeah, I believe that too. Yeah.
And interesting enough, you were talking about Lucy Parham, and presumably that was this Lucy Parham.
Hi, I'm Lucy Parham, and when I'm not playing the piano, bit of Rachmaninoff or Chopin, I'm listening to Midweek Drive Time on Siren FM.
Yeah, she was, yeah. We recorded that in a studio not far away from where we're sitting today. There we are.
Just it's to lovely to hear Lucy's voice there. We've actually done many concerts with her, some here in Los Angeles, Words and Music.
Exactly. And yet, Martin, and yet, you know, this was the point that we did have issues with, and we said, Lucy, we were going to take that case forward. You know, we have found that even in the Hollywood Bowl, Lucy was saying, these American audiences, sometimes they do not appreciate the importance of actually being quiet. You know, they're making noises, they're rustling, you know, you're thinking, look, this is great art, for goodness sake, what do you think you are at a rock concert? Sort it out.
That's right.
Please.
We've been there ourselves, and I have to say that you can take your own wine and have your own.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's like somebody in a cinema sort of outing, sort of making all the rustles and noises and say, shh, you know, please, enough, enough.
But nobody eats, munches, or sips when Lucy's playing.
Well, I would hope so. That's very important. If not, Martin, you have our permission to actually take a ferret and actually sort of wave it threateningly in their general direction. Not a fish, of course, that was python. That's so last century. Ferrets, that's the way forward. 21st century, it's where we go. George, any other questions you'd like to, or any questions you'd like to raise from your own point as a young boy broadcaster who's obviously anchoring a whole range of things and looking possibly for a career in media and various other things? Any questions you'd like to put to our top souls here?
If you're wanting to go into sort of radio play and radio drama, what would you say to sort of take A-levels at college and that kind of thing, education-wise?
What is the Jarvis and Ayres top 10 tips, or indeed just top 2 tips, to actually get into the whole wonderful world?
It depends what aspects of radio. I would tend to say, I'm hoping that it might be all aspects of radio, in which case you should keep reading plays, anything to do with drama, plays, literature, Shakespeare, modern drama, Pinter, Frayne, Eggbourne, all those things. Just wrap yourselves in these great modern and classic writers. Understand that there's a similarity somewhere in the centre of them all. They're writing about the human condition, they're writing about relationships, they're writing about people and what they believe, what they think, how, and often with great comedy. That's on the, what we might call, or people call, the creative side. But also the other side, which I was never so good at, is the whole business of understanding microphones and how they work, and acoustic and all those kind of things. And best of all, just listen to your own imagination, how to tell a story, how best to tell a story. There's a way of telling a story on stage. There's a way of telling the same story on the screen, the small screen, the larger screen. And there's a way of telling a story on the screen in our own heads, making movies in the mind, if you like, which is radio.
Ah, so would you suggest sort of writing your own short stories and then imagining them in the different formats?
Certainly, I think that's a brilliant idea. You're writing your own story is great anyway, and then seeing how best you can communicate it, you know.
There we have it, you see. It's been like sharing a masterclass, as I knew it would be. It's always great stuff. And I hope our American colleagues are appreciating this as we sort of just... I feel, Ed, we've raised that level just a few notches along the whole base. It's important. We like to keep
this
sort of
stuff. Our American colleagues have a great deal to teach us. One of the great things we enjoy when we work here in Los Angeles is the incredible American actors that we're fortunate enough to be working with.
You mentioned Jared Harris.
I think we can all learn from each other.
And isn't that a wonderful way to actually celebrate the marathon? You know, the Martin Jarvis Rosalind Ayres view. Ultimately, we can all learn from each other. Splendid. I feel as I'm filling up with this sort of joy, Martin. We're going to give you a thought for the day from Mike Dooley, who recorded these specially for us before he actually headed off to Mexico. I'm sure he's well and alive. 23 seconds. We'd welcome your little thoughts on Mike's views here, obviously channeling the universe itself.
Do you know, once every blue moon, secretly happy kind of feeling,
That beaming, floating, purring kind of feeling. That oh-so-rare, please-don't-let-me-be-dreaming kind of feeling. You can feel it right now. Purring the universe.
You see? See? But ultimately, if you choose to feel good, you probably will. Does that make sense in a Stanislavskian-esque way? Or are we just sort of saying, no, 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 I'm much more of a Brecht persuasion?
Well, I think mind over matter is a great thing.
Mm,
I mean, I'm convinced that a positive attitude will actually give you a positive view on life and consequently make almost anything much more enjoyable.
Would you agree with that, Natalie?
Yes, definitely.
And
very nice,
Ed?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah. George and Callum, we just don't know. What do you think, guys? Are you more positive than negative? Where do you see yourselves? Are we all doomed?
No, I see myself as a positive person.
Good, right. And George?
Definitely on the optimistic side.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I've been listening to the same No Adults Allowed shows I've been listening to in the last few weeks. No, never mind, it's been great stuff. He's superb in every sense of the word. Listen, it's been absolutely fantastic sharing breakfast with you. I feel as though we've worked through that, or tea time in the British scenario. Martin Jarvis and Rosalind Ayres, truly splendid. We've got two final questions for you. I think we kind of know what they are, but Martin and Rosalind, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this Myathon extravaganza that we've been putting together with our colleagues at Chill Park Hollywood and LA Talk Radio and Combat Radio Now?
Well, we have, yes. And as Jeeves might have said, we just hope we've been up to your measure up to your standards. And as Jeeves certainly says on occasions, I endeavour to give satisfaction.
Oh, steady. I mean, we've already talked about, I mean, the equivalent of Jeeves being Jeeves for hire. Where do we go now? Is it going to be Jeeves the pimp, you know? I mean, is he going to be sort of pimped out on various routines? Is he going to be sort of, you know, touting his I mean, what's P.G. Woodhouse going to be thinking about the whole thing? The ramifications, guys, the ramifications. Anyway, the next crucial question is, can we look forward to welcoming you both back in the not-too-distant future, one of our standard regular features, either in the UK or in LA or wherever we happen to find ourselves in the globe?
Absolutely, it would be a great pleasure, and how very nice to hear some young voices and opinions from young people. That's just delightful.
We thought that was important, Rosalind. That's why we hired them for the duration of the show. We're going to actually pack them back away. I think there are orphans that are available for hire and rent this Christmas as well. So that's George and Owen. The two more actually are sort of waiting behind. We'd actually give them the name checks as well. They might be also available for hire.
Jess and Nick.
Jess and Nick. There we are, you see. Sorted out. Obviously, we're only kidding. Siren FM would never actually indulge in trafficking youngsters under the age of 18. It's just very important.
I would hope not, Alex.
I just wanted to make that quite clear at this particular stage. Martin Jarvis and Rosalind Ayres, before we actually head off to Lucy Parham, we salute you. Many thanks indeed. Take care now. And happy Christmas.
Take care. And give our love to Lucy and say we'll be speaking to her very soon.